Welcome to the Deep Sexy Play podcast. I'm your host, EJ Love, and this is my uncensored space designed to stimulate your mind and give you full permission to explore your curiosities and express your deepest sexual desires. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's get turned on. Welcome back. On this episode, I am going to be sharing about how pleasing men and doing sex work fucked up my sex life. And I think this is really going to be one of those episodes that is probably going to make you see things in a whole new light. And even though I'm sharing about this from having done sex work, this will actually resonate for anyone who has ever been a pleaser in their bedroom and has usually struggled to receive. And perhaps if you are someone who wants to be able to please a partner, wants to be able to make them happy, wants to be able to satisfy them, but really struggles to ask for what you want or know what you want. Or maybe you've just been conditioned that you need to please the other person and make sure that they have had an orgasm, for example. And what I've seen in a lot of the sex coaching world is this, and what I've experienced from men coming to see me is that there's this want to be able to please the other partner, or this is a coaching or a training on how to be a better lover or how to please your partner and make them have an orgasm. And the problem with this is that if you have been conditioned to be a pleaser in the way that I'm going to talk about, this will actually take you deeper into that conditioning. Yeah, and what really needs to happen is we actually need to become more embodied in our sexuality. We need to heal our sexual conditioning that says that you actually need to please the other person. Yeah, and this episode is really going to dive into that, probably in a way you haven't heard before. And I can now see that me and the way that I did sex work actually perpetuated this, and it actually was quite disempowering for me. Like, it actually made my sex life worse. Yeah, even though, hilariously, when I look back, I felt like I was really empowered. I was like, yeah, I'm so empowered, like being a sex worker. And really, it gave me power from a place of control, like feeling I had control over my sexuality and my sex life, when really I was actually really disassociating and crossing my own boundaries quite a lot. So if you can resonate to that, whether you've been in the sex industry or not, then you are going to love this episode. So let me take you back to 2010, because 2010 was really when everything started to change for me. But I actually thought, I had a great sex life. I explored a lot. I did a lot of different things. I gave great head. I was able to make men come. I was very good at pleasing men and making them have a good time. I was open to exploring a lot of different things. And I could be quite kinky. I was having lots of clitoral orgasms. I was masturbating and making myself have all clitoral orgasms. And so I thought I had a pretty alive sex life, let's say, and I had also good sexual desire. However, a lot of the sex that I was having, I was often tipsy or drunk or high, and I didn't have a lot of intimacy. Yeah, so even though I was like, yeah, I'm having the best time, I'm exploring all these sexual things, I was actually disassociated a lot. And it was like I wasn't really there. And it's interesting because I now recognize this in other people. Like, I can go to a swingers club where I used to go when back in 2010, And I can see everyone is pretty much disassociated. Yeah, oh, I can see it. Yeah, it's like they're not there, and they're in their minds, and they're in this, they're either, you know, had a few drinks, or they're in this pleaser capacity, or they're wanting to, some of them might be there because they want to explore different kinks and things. But often there's a real lack of boundaries and consent in this space, and because people aren't connected to their yeses and their nos and their true wants and desires. And I believe that's because so many of us have not really connected so deeply to our bodies, and are often in that, I'm trying to reach a goal, I'm trying to either reach the goal myself, or I'm trying to make this happen for another person. Yeah. So I really can say that back then, yes, I was having lots of sex and I was exploring a lot sexually, but I didn't really have any intimacy. Yeah, I never really truly exposed myself, and I didn't really share my vulnerability or my emotions. Yeah, if I was to, for example, cry after sex back then, I probably would have freaked out. I'd probably be like, what the fuck is happening to me? Why am I crying? Whereas now, if I'm to cry during sex or after sex, I think it's so incredibly beautiful when I feel so connected and I know that I'm healing in that moment, or I'm deeply feeling and it's opening me. And I love that. Like, it's so special when that happens. But back then, that would have, I probably definitely would have been like, what? I don't know what's wrong with me. I would have thought there was something wrong with me. Yeah. So really was a lot of friction basics and using my sexuality to feel in control and to feel desired and to feel wanted. Like, I had a lot of casual sex partners and I never allowed myself to get very close to them. And if they did, I would find a way to push them away. Yeah, so I actually had a deep fear of intimacy. And so when I got into sex work, that just translated over. Yeah, so I just took really what I was doing casually and swinging and with casual sex partners, and I just started it and started getting paid for it. That's what really happened. I just translated it into a paid form, essentially. Now, what I was doing was really using my sexuality to be in service, to really please men and focus on meeting their needs and desires. And that's when, like, I really put all my wants to the side. Like, they didn't matter. Yeah. And that was work. That's how it was. Yeah. And I had no idea about boundaries and consent. I offered a girlfriend experience, and I've spoken about this on previous episodes. And so I had certain things that I did in the girlfriend experience. So it would be kissing, oral, me going down on them, them going down on me, penetrative sex. These were a massage. These were the kind of the basics, yeah. And that was like me saying, this is what you're going to get in this service. Now, what I would do often would have sex before I was ready, yeah, when I wasn't actually ready to have penetration, like my body wasn't open enough, yeah. And I would do things that maybe I didn't desire to do with people that I didn't want to really do it with. And you know, when I first started, it was edgy for me to be with men that I wasn't attracted to, because before that, I'd been with men that were like pretty attractive, or had been scenarios where I'd had a few drinks and I maybe did things that I wouldn't have done if I hadn't had those drinks as well. So, you know, I especially in like swingers scenarios, for example, like I was drinking to get myself like more uninhibited, essentially to allow myself to explore things sexually that I might probably actually wouldn't have done if I hadn't had those drinks or those drugs, right? So now, in going into back in 2010 when I started sex work, what happened is that I wasn't drinking. Yeah, so I think for about the first week of work, I had drinks because I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to be able to do this. And then after the first week, I was like, actually no, like I don't feel like I want to do this work and I want to drink. Like I'd have drinks here and there, but I wouldn't get super drunk. Yeah, so not like I did at swingers parties, which sometimes I got really drunk at those. So what happened is I actually started to feel more. And I really did focus on this idea of like, I'm going to please this person because this is what they're paying me for. Yeah. And there were men that I wasn't attracted to. And people would ask me like, how did you have sex with men that you felt no attraction to? And what I would do is in my mind, I would find a way to connect with them. I would find something to like about them. And I'd usually start with a conversation, like we'd talk and we'd connect and I'd ask them questions and I would try to find something. I'm like, oh, okay, that guy's really nice. I really like this about him. I'd find a way to connect as best as I could, even if like I felt absolutely that no physical attraction. And some women would tell me that, and when I asked them what they did, they said they would go into a character, like they would play a role, like an actress. And I actually found that hard to do, like that just wasn't me. I couldn't do that. And so I already started disassociated. I started going more into my mind, like to try and like get my mind around what was happening. And there were men that were like really could be quite groupy, that would like want to really stick their tongue down my mouth and, you know, like grab me, and I would start to tell them to do it more softly, or but I struggled. Like back then I still struggled with that. There was a part of me that was like, oh, how do I tell them not to be so gropey, like when this is what they're here for. Yeah. And like some of them will just get so excited, like they're not actually touched a woman for so long, they would get so excited to do that. And then generally when I would say something to them, they were pretty respectful about that, but it took me a while to do that. Like there was an uncomfortability around that. Because I felt like there was this thing of obligation, like I should let them do those things because this is what they're paying for. And it's kind of like, you know, some people might feel that in relationships too, like, oh, I should do that because that's my partner, that's my husband, like I should be available to them. Yeah. And I guess what I really want to say here is that's not true, right? We should never ever have to do something that we don't want to do, even in a circumstance where we're in a relationship or when we're in a paid service, right? And this is why I do feel this, you know, there needs to be more consciousness around the sex industry, because I definitely know there are men out there that would hate to know that when they're going to see a sex worker, that sex worker is doing things she doesn't want to do. Yeah. And maybe they're too, and I would have men like that. I would have men that would say, oh, they've been with women that they could feel that those women didn't want to be there. And it was an unpleasant experience for those men. They were like, I want to see a worker that like is actually enjoying it and I can honor her. And I don't want that experience where I can feel that she doesn't really want to be there. Like, I want to feel like she's into it. And look, there are definitely workers out there that are into it, but I do feel like there's a large portion of women who are doing things that they don't really actually want to be doing. Yeah. And that was me for a period of time until I discovered conscious sexuality and bringing boundaries and consent into my work, and realizing that there were men out there that wanted to have those kind of services, and that wanted to learn and wanted to experience what it was like to bring to be with a woman who could really honor herself and essentially learn from those experiences. So I'm not going to go too much into that stuff, because I did speak about that in my last episode, the one on being a tantra escort, and I probably will talk about this in future episodes. So if you want to know more about that, please go and listen to those episodes. Okay, so back to my story. So what I was saying is that there were men, different types of men that I weren't necessarily attracted to, or even the way that they physically were built or their hygiene practices could be really off-putting. So for example, there were men that might be heavy smokers, there were men that would get quite sweaty, and then, you know, just imagine like lying there and this guy's on top of you and the sweat is like dripping on your face, and feeling like I couldn't necessarily tell him to not to get off me or something. Like, I'd find a way. I'd be like, I want to change positions or something like that, rather than like, your sweat is getting all in my face and it's really uncomfortable, which is what I really would have wanted to say, right? There were men that were much, much older than me that I definitely didn't feel any kind of physical attraction to. There were also men that had big penises. And, you know, sometimes the people think, oh, size, you know, bigger is better. Let me tell you, as an escort, you don't necessarily want to have a big dick. Yeah, we used to, some of the escorts and I, we would joke about how, like, this is going to ruin you for, like, the whole week. Yeah, and be painful. Yeah, and even though, like, we used to joke about that, now I'm like, wow, like, that is how much we'd put up with, right? And let ourselves go through to the point when we're having sex when it's painful and putting up with pain. Yeah. And then there were men that were like, just wanted to go for a really long time and just wanted to pound away. Yeah. And or men that wanted like really long head jobs or took really long time to come, and you're trying to give them a hand job and the arm's getting sore and you're just like, come on, man, like, are you going to come yet? And we're putting ourselves through some form of pain or struggle to make this person happy, yeah, to make sure they've had a good time, and to go through some uncomfortability with that. And in my mind, I was like, well, this is part of the job. This is what I'm being paid for. And what I can say now, from having to undo the damage of this, is that actually, I was traumatizing myself. I was crossing my own boundaries and damaging my body. And this is what I believe is the shadow side of working in the sex industry that we don't talk about. Look, I'm all for women being empowered in their choices around their work and around choosing to do sex work. But what I want to bring to light is, and this goes for really for anyone who's having sex, whether it's, you know, in sex work, or it's like choosing to have casual sex, or choosing to be a swinger, or choosing to get into kink, is this choice really empowered? Yeah, are you able to be confident in your desires and expressing your desires, and feel that you can say no when your body is saying no? Yeah, so I think that's really important that we have that. And I realize that my conditioning around being a pleaser was playing out in a disempowered way when I worked in the sex industry. I just did whatever I did because that's what they were paying me for. And I did not listen to my body, and actually had no awareness really around listening to my body. Yeah. So I've come to discover that I was what I call a sexual fauna. So it's spelled F-A-W-N-E-R. You won't find a lot of information about this on the internet. I will be talking about it more. But fawning is actually a trauma response coined by Peter Walker in the book Understanding Complex PTSD. Yeah, so we have trauma responses of flight, fight, freeze, and fawn. Yeah, and fawn is the newest one. And then there's also collapse, is when our nervous system completely collapses, and that is actually also what happened to me. So fawning includes people pleasing, trying to be good girl or nice guy, appeasing, having an attitude of being in service, of servitude, placating another to keep ourselves safe, and violating our own boundaries to do this. Yeah. So someone who fawns doesn't actually know what their boundaries are, and they're good at looking after others. They usually tend to be quite the overgiver, and they're not very good at looking after themselves. And they often will give to people who don't give back. And it really comes from this deep need to be liked. They actually have a deep fear of rejection. And they really think and believe that the only way to feel safe is to not be rejected. So this really leads to going into that pleaser role to avoid really being seen. Yeah, and so through pleasing, we get to hide ourselves. Yeah, and people don't really get to see us. Yeah, when we're disconnected from our desires, when we're not expressing ourselves and that and expressing what we want, we're hiding. Yeah, and we're focused on the other person. And we're focused on the other person, they don't really get to see us. And therefore, we're trying to keep ourselves safe. So in sexual fawning, we say yes to the things we don't want to do to please the other. And we unconsciously keep ourselves safe from rejection and not being liked. It was interesting. I was watching a reality TV show the other night. And one of the women said on there to this guy that she was dating, she said, "There's not anything I wouldn't do to please you." And I was like, "Oh no, that's don't say that." And it just said to me, like, she's in that role of like wanting to please and wanting to be, and she was doing it in this kind of sexy way, like, "There's not anything I wouldn't do." And it was like, yeah, I'm basically saying that I'm going to be in control and do what you want so you'll like me, but you're really not going to get to see me and my vulnerability. And then she's actually showed this throughout the show. You can see that she's actually avoidant of intimacy, yeah, and some of her behaviors. And I was like, this is classic avoidance, yeah. So, because she doesn't feel safe to be seen because of this deep fear of rejection. And I used to be like this too. I used to think, oh, I'm so sexually open. I'm into so many different things, and I'm open to exploring. And people would ask me, it's like, is there anything you're not into? And I'm like, no, I'm open to trying anything. Yeah, and really, I can now see that this is coming from this pleaser. But also, you know, I'm a very curious person, but at the same time, you can be curious and have boundaries as well, right? And find out, oh, okay, maybe I'm curious about that, and then I decide that I'm not into it. Whereas in the past, I might have been curious about it, and then I might have done it just because the other person is wanting it, even though I'm not really into it, yeah? And I've seen this a lot with my clients where I've asked them, okay, well, let's talk about what you want. And they'll be like, oh, whatever you want, whatever you're into. Like, this is usually when I was working in as an escort. And they'd be like, oh, just a bit of fun. And this says to me is like, they don't actually know what they want. And they have, and often they don't even have any idea of what is possible for them. Yeah. And so many, it's quite funny when I look back, because I can see that there were so many men that were coming to me and they just wanted to know that I'd had a good time, and here I was trying to make sure that they'd had a good time. Yeah. But there were also definitely men that came because they felt a detachment on having to please me as well. Like, that because we weren't emotionally connected, whereas like with a wife or a partner, like, there's this definite like, I want to make my partner, my woman happy. Whereas sometimes they could feel like they would just come for a stress relief, yeah, to a worker. But there were definitely men that were there that were wanted to please, and they wanted to make sure they pleasured me and they'd done a good job, and they wanted feedback, and they wanted to know that their dick was okay and all these things. They wanted to know that they weren't going to get rejected, essentially. And often it might have been because they'd had experience where they had felt rejected, and so they were coming to make sure that they were okay and that they were able to please, right? And then therefore they get to stay safe. I find this fascinating, to be honest. It blows my mind how this response of fawning plays out in our sex life, and how it's also played, like, I can see how it plays out in the sex industry. So how we learn to be a pleaser is through our conditioning. So for example, I was conditioned as a child to be a good girl, to please mummy and daddy, to get their love and approval. So as long as I was a good girl when I behaved, then I would be approved of. Yeah, and I never had boundaries modeled to me. Yeah, I didn't even know that I could have boundaries. Yeah, and also being told that I shouldn't ask for too much. And sometimes I'd ask for what I wanted, I'd be told no, or I'd be told off. Or, you know, so this conditioning around, like, it's not safe to ask for what I want, or it's not safe to say no. And that then has led into my life and my relationships and my sex life. Yeah, so I hope if you're relating to this, you can like have a look and reflection back to like, how did that happen in my childhood, and how has this then, you know, impacted my relationships and my intimate life? So the question to ask yourself is, what happened in childhood where I was pleasing someone to get their love and approval so that I was safe? And how has this impacted my relationships and my sex life? And I would just spend some time even journaling on that and reflecting on that, just seeing where that has happened and noticing how it has impacted you. And I guess really the next question is like, how did, for me, this fuck up my sex life? Yeah. And how this might have fucked up your sex life too. So what happens when we do this is that the body goes into shock and freeze, which causes a numbness and shuts our sexuality down. Yeah, so when we're not listening to our body, when we are pleasing, when we're not really able to say no, when we're not able to ask what we want, we will do things and our body goes into shock, goes into freeze, and we end up in numbness and our sexuality gets shut down. And so imagine doing that every day for almost 6 years. That's what I did. Yeah. And I did it for longer than that, because I did it before I even started sex work. I did it for many years, most of my life, actually. Yeah, I did it from the age of 16, when I first lost my virginity. I was pleasing my partner to get his love and approval all the time. And that was consistent. I had no connection really to my body. So what happens over time is the body becomes more frozen. It becomes more numb. And the impact that it had on me was really that I started to not have any desire or feel any pleasure. And the first time that I really saw this was in 2012. I was 2 years into sex work and I entered this relationship with a man. And for the first time in my personal life, sex felt like work. It felt like a chore. It felt like something I had to do. Not something that was an expression of our love. It was not something that felt like deeply pleasurable and exciting for me. Yeah, it felt like an obligation. And I was also struggling to orgasm with him. There were certain positions that even when I rubbed my clitoris really hard, I couldn't orgasm. And that had always worked for me before. Like, I'd never had any problems with that. And it was like just, I think it was doggy style, this position that was usually my like guaranteed position, like when I was in sex work, that I could have an orgasm. But with him, it just couldn't happen. Like, I just couldn't do it. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Like, what's going on? Like, I felt broken. I was like, I can't orgasm anymore. Like, I'm broken. Like, it was hard for me. And it was like, felt like, well, if I just rub harder, if I just more friction, I might get there. But actually that was making it worse. Yeah. Because it wasn't about that. It wasn't about like trying to get that friction based pleasure. It was actually my body inside was shut down. Yeah, it was disassociated. I wasn't really there, and it actually hadn't really been there my whole life. But it was now compounded, time after time after time after time of disassociating, because of the overwhelming amount of sensation that I was receiving that I didn't want to feel. Because that's what had been happening, is that I had so much coming towards me, so much physical sensation of being touched in places I didn't want to be touched, being penetrated when I wasn't ready. Like, so much of that happening, and my body's like disconnected because this is too much. It's just this sensation is too overwhelming. I need to shut down so I don't feel it. And then that all gets trapped in my body, you know, as numbness, right? So that is what had happened. And yeah, it was really disheartening. It was disheartening to feel numb, and not be able to feel pleasure, and also to have no desire to have sex. Here, I had met this man who was actually quite a healthy man. Like, I was like, I'm finally, like, I feel like I'm opening to this healthy relationship. And I had no desire to have sex with him. And it was for our relationship that was really hard, because here I was going off working as an escort during the day and then getting back to my partner and not wanting to have sex. And he felt resentful about that. He's like, he couldn't understand how I could do this sex work and not want to have sex with him. Like, it wasn't fair. And look, I get that. I'm like, that's shit. Like, I felt bad about that. I was like, I know, that's shit. Like, it's different. What I'm doing at work is different to at home. But I just didn't have the desire, and I felt like almost to the point where he started to feel annoying to me. I was like, oh, you're just like annoying. Your desire is annoying me. Like, just want to cuddle and not do anything else. Like, I just, and eventually had the resentment that he was holding because he wasn't having his sexual needs met. And it probably wasn't just the fact that he wasn't having his sexual needs met, but also it was actually also the fact that I was meeting other men's sexual needs through my work. Yeah. And so there was a lot of resentment from him around that. And I get that. And so that built up, and the relationship ended, basically. Like, it just, we were like, this is not going to work. And I knew that I had to go and heal myself. Yeah. Because I wanted to eventually one day be in a relationship where I did feel good about having sex again, where I did feel desire. Yeah. And obviously what had happened with us, there was just too much resentment and we couldn't get past that. Yeah. And I made a decision that I would want to be in a relationship whilst not doing sex work. And so this is when I found Tantra and I found conscious sexuality. And so I started my sexual healing journey after we broke up. I went and saw, went and got a tantric massage. I talked about that on the last couple of episodes. And I started doing things like de-armoring and yoni mapping and going to lots of tantra workshops and just learning as much as possible, going to retreats. And like, I learned a lot from that, and I did go on this healing journey. And I did start to be able to, I got my clitoral orgasms back to normal, which was great. But then what I learned through Tantra was that, oh, probably like clitoral orgasms can be quite addictive, and they can, a little bit like man's ejaculation, that they can take you away from being able to experience other pleasure. And since I was like on this journey, this healing journey, I was like, oh, I want to open myself up to lots of pleasure. So let me steer away from that for a while to focus on the rest of my body. Yeah. So, and I'm not saying here that you have to go and stop trying to have clitoral orgasms at all, because I think that is a bit of a dogmatic approach when we're like, no, you shouldn't have clitoral orgasms. Because there are some teachings, especially in the neo-tantra world, that are like, no, clitoral orgasms are, you shouldn't be having those. You should focus on these other orgasms. I don't believe that. But I do believe for my journey that I needed to steer away from that high peak, quick fix, experience orgasm that I was looking for, to be able to focus on opening pleasure through different parts of my body and through my yoni. So that's when I started doing things like going to get yoni massages and doing yoni mapping, and that were helping to actually heal what was going on inside. So eventually I started actually opening myself up to experiencing other orgasms, so I could have G-spot orgasms and anal orgasms and full body energy orgasms. And I was also doing a lot of relationship healing work and cathartic processes, like releasing anger and rage and frustration, especially around the past abuse I'd experienced. And there was one day that I knew that when I stopped doing full service sex work, and that was the day that I cried in a session, because I felt like there was a part of me that I couldn't say no. Yeah, I was having sex with this person. I was like, oh, this is actually getting a bit painful now. And I was like, oh, it'll be over soon. Like, okay, just let it. I'm like, he'll be finished soon. Like, just put up with it. And I was making sound to try and work with the pain. Yeah, I was making these sounds to try and move through the pain instead of saying no, instead of stopping. Yeah. And so that's when I knew, like, that was it. I can't do this anymore. And I've still got more healing to do. I've really got to look more at this boundaries and consent. And really, that's when I was like, really got to look at how can I bring this into my work? Because I'm like, sure, I can go and do all this healing work. And then what am I doing when I go to work? Right? It's just like, I'm doing this healing and then I'm kind of messing it up by continuing to do sex work where I feel like I can't, that I have to keep pleasing people and I can't say no. Yeah. And as I've said before, like, it's not to say that you can't do sex work and bring in those boundaries and consent, because you absolutely can. And I would even say to you, if you're someone that is listening to this and you're not from the sex industry, but you have a partner or you've had partners before where you've been in that position where maybe you've said yes to penetration, or you're in the middle of penetration and it's getting painful or it's getting uncomfortable and you want to stop, but you don't, and you just keep going because, you know, you're just like waiting for it to be over, then that's when you've got to really look at, okay, what is it doing to my body? Yeah, how could that actually be damaging me? Yeah, and how can I do things differently? Yeah, and it would be a case of actually having conversations around boundaries and consent with your partner and putting a safe word in, you know, making sure that if that ever happens, that you have a safe word. Like, my partner and I, we use the red light, the traffic light. And our red light is red, which is stop, and orange is I need to pause, slow down, check in, and then green is go, we're all good. Yeah, and if you haven't got my playbook, then I highly recommend to check it out. It's deepsexyplay.com, because there is quite a few things on there on around boundaries and consent. And there's the wheel of consent, there is the traffic light game, there is creating a bedroom scene, having safe words. So all of that is in there. And I highly recommend that if you have a partner, that you sit down and that you actually go over it and you put these things in place and that you practice them. There's an intimate touch ritual game in there where that helps you actually practice using your boundaries and saying yes and saying no, or negotiating and making adjustments based on, you know, things that might need to be slightly different for it to be more comfortable for you. Yeah, so that will really help you see where you're not good as well. That will help you see where you hold back and why you hold back, and where you're saying yes just to please the other person. So really highly recommend that is actually an essential part of your sexual life, your sex life. And maybe that means taking penetration out of your sex life for a while. Yeah, right now, my partner and I, we haven't had penetrative sex for 2 months. We had this wild weekend, which was amazing, and we had lots of penetrative sex on the wild weekend. And then I made a decision that I wanted to really look more deeply at my pleaser. Because I noticed some things come up and I was like, I want to look at this. And I've done a lot of work on myself. And I was like, okay, babe, I really want to go on this journey with myself and deepening my healing. And will you support me with that? It's probably going to look like not having penetrative sex for a while. Yeah, and this is what I want to do instead. Yeah, I want to have intimacy without penetration and explore other things that we can do, and making sure that we're using our safe words and our boundaries and doing different practices that are going to support us with this, so we can deepen this into our sex life and ultimately have a greater sex life for it. Yeah, so this is one of the reasons I created the Intimacy Playbook, is for this reason, so that people had tools and practices that they could do without necessarily even getting to penetration. And there's a lot in there. I'll put that link also in the show notes. Another thing that I really want to speak to, which is has been a big part of my life and a big realization in the last few years for me, and I think this is something that I'm going to speak to a lot more. I have spoken to it, but not in the way that I'm speaking about it right now a lot, but I am going to speak to it more. So I did all this tantra and these courses, and I went hard. Let's just say I went really hard, really fast, because I was like, I want to do as much as possible. I want to heal myself. And I was seeing results. I was having these big orgasmic experiences. And so I was thinking like, yep, this is working. This is great. Like these healing practices are amazing. But here's what happened. I had a nervous system collapse. And what happened is that I basically felt like I was burnt out. I had no desire for anything. I felt lost. I felt hopeless. I felt useless. I felt uninspired. I felt not motivated. I felt even like a little bit depressed, like questioning, like, what am I doing with my life? Like, what's the point of it all? Just all these things. And this is a sign of being in collapse. So what had happened is that all these practices that I've been doing was actually too much for me. And because I'd been doing so much of it, it was too much for my nervous system. Yeah, and it fried me. Yeah. And I want to speak to this because I see this happening a lot when people realize that they, you know, I've got to go on this healing journey, and they want to do whatever it takes. I've got to do whatever it takes to heal myself. And they go to workshop after workshop and healer after healer and retreat after retreat. And they're just doing all the things. And they start getting some results. And they're like, yeah, these results are like, everything's amazing. And then this happens. Yeah, because they haven't given themselves enough space to integrate. And if you have, like me, been a fauna and you've been in disassociation and you've been in this freeze response, then a lot of these processes, especially the really cathartic processes, were actually too much for my nervous system. And I needed to do something that actually had a more somatic and trauma-informed approach. So that is the healing journey that I've been on recently, more recently, because what happened after my collapse is that I met my partner. Once I started coming out of the collapse, I started to do that through not focusing on my healing so much, not focusing on processing stuff. I focused on playing and expressing and connecting and doing things that I loved and things that weren't necessarily about like the next healing thing I have to do. You know, just focused on, okay, what would be fun for me and how can I connect with more people? And I was doing co-regulation. So co-regulation was when I was having, you know, deep conversations with people, having forms of touch, yeah, having platonic touch and doing different classes that lit me up and were fun for me rather than like the big process to go and heal myself. Yeah, so this is what helped me get out of the collapse, was being gentle on myself, yeah, and knowing that I wasn't broken, yeah, that I didn't have anything to fix. I didn't have to do more healing on myself. What I needed to do was I needed to be in community. I needed to be around people. Yeah, I needed to take things more slowly in a way that my nervous system could handle. And so when I started coming out of the collapse and was pretty much out of it, is when I met my now partner. And the disheartening thing for me was that I felt numb again. I felt like I didn't have the same desire that I had before. I couldn't have the same orgasms. I could still clitoral orgasm. I could still G-spot orgasm, but not to the same easefulness. It was like I had to force it, and that's not how you want to do it. Like, that is not how It should not be like that. Yeah. And it felt like I just was just numb again. And I was devastated because I was like, fuck, I've just done all this work on myself. Now I'm back to square one. What I also noticed is that my body really experienced resistance to doing some of the old sexual healing practices that I had been doing. And there was a sense that I had to take things more gently. And I was fortunate enough to find somatics, somatic therapies. And somatic is a really gentle, integrative approach to healing trauma. And when I say trauma, I want to be conscious of that and explain that a little bit, because people think trauma, oh, there's something really big that's happened in childhood, like I've had some abuse or some assault, something really big has happened. But actually, there's lots of ways that we can experience trauma, and it can be things that we've had ongoing or repeat experiences. So for example, when you have had a sexual experience and you have, for example, put up with something because you wanted to please the person, or you've done something with your body because you wanted to please the person, you can experience trauma from that. Yeah. And that is what had happened to me. And this is why I say I was re-traumatizing myself every day. So I want to share with you this quote from Somatic Experiencing Australia that explains somatic therapy. So it says, it focuses on experiencing the felt sense in the present moment to relieve the physical, emotional, and physiological effects of post-traumatic stress disorder and other stress and trauma-related health problems. Yeah. So I really feel like I've found the right healing path now by working somatically in a way that my nervous system can handle. And I really wanted to speak to this because I know there are a lot of people out there that will go out and go and do a lot of these processes and healings. And I would not want anyone to be in that same position that I was in, where I went into collapse. Yeah. So it is much better to go slower and more gently, because the impacts are going to be long term. Yeah. I'm not looking now for that quick fix or high peak healing experience, because these were the things that were blowing out my system, and those effects didn't last. Yeah. So be conscious of the work that you're choosing to do on, if you are going on a sexual healing journey, you want to work with this, be conscious of that and be willing to take things slowly, knowing that it's not an overnight fix. This is one of the reasons why in my relationship, we're taking things slowly and we're having intimacy where I'm actually tuning into the felt sensations in my body when he does something or when he asks me to do something. It's like, okay, how does that feel? Noticing how it actually feels in my body when I notice that I might want to go into pleasing, or I feel resistance. Because what I actually started to notice happened is I started to swing the other way to not to want to please at all. I went into avoidance. Like just avoiding sex altogether and just not wanting to do anything, because I was like, oh, I'm so tired of pleasing. I was just like, oh, I've just got, and but because I was so disassociated and like so disconnected, like I had nothing to give. Yeah, it was nothing for me. Like it wasn't there. It wasn't enjoyable for me. I felt no satisfaction from it. Like I'd just be doing it for the other person, and it felt like very unfulfilling and like a job, like a chore, like, you know, like that's what happened. So the way that my partner and I work with that is by having, what I'd call somatic intimacy, is where we're taking things slowly and we're exploring different kinds of touch and pleasure, and then noticing like what do I feel in my body and sharing that. Or let's say this actually just happened the other night, where he was touching me and I was starting to feel like it started to feel like a bit too much, like the sensation was too much. So I called a pause. Yeah. And I actually said the word pause. We use orange and as well as pause. And So I called a pause and we stopped and I took a breath and I tuned into my body and I just noticed, okay, what are the sensations that I'm feeling in my body right now? What do I notice about how I feel? And I took some breaths and I noticed that I dropped into the bed that I was lying on and felt safe. And so I dropped into that, how can I feel safe in my body right now and know that I'm safe? And then I spoke that I wanted that touch a little bit softer. I said, I'd love that touch softer, please. Yeah, and whenever I call an orange or a pause, he'll say thank you. And so I feel like I'm completely rewiring my whole body and my whole sex life. And yes, there's a period of time now where, yes, I want to explore lots of things sexually. There's lots of curiosities and things I want to do. But right now, this is what I have to do for my body so that I feel safe. Yeah, so that I'm in my body and that I can feel full pleasure and know that I can honor my boundaries and that I can really speak my boundaries. So, like, it's not been an easy journey and it's been long and I'm still, like, moving through the impacts of that. But I'm really committed to this. And it's now how I work with my clients. Yeah, so working in this slow somatic way, in a way that actually allows your body to integrate the healing and open up in a gentle way that your nervous system can handle. Yeah, and so if you relate to what I've shared, if you can see that you have been a what I'm calling a sexual fauna and have been in that pleaser a lot of your life, then please feel free to reach out to me if you're wanting support with that. I'll pop in the show notes below a link to apply to work with me one-on-one. And I also have a woman's deeper intimacy program where we also work in this way. So that is great if you want more community support or maybe you don't have the investment to work with me one-on-one. That is a way that you can also get the support. And it also can be so incredibly valuable to be around other women who have been where you are. So I will pop that link in the show notes as well. And look, this isn't just for women though. Like, there are other people out there and many men that are definitely pleasers and would have this fawning running as well. So I've seen it definitely in men that have been conditioned to be nice guys and become very disconnected and disassociated from their own bodies and don't know how to ask for what they want. So, you know, I also do work with men, but not right now in a program, more one-on-one. So please feel free to reach out to me if this resonates for you as well. The other thing is that this is also what we teach in my teacher training. So we explore boundaries, consent, somatics, and also becoming trauma-informed. So I think that's really important, you know, when we're working in these spaces to become trauma-informed, we can become much better coaches, practitioners, and even, you know, sexuality workers that want to be able to serve their clients at a more conscious, in a more conscious way. It's going to be really supportive for them as well. And this is one of the reasons I wanted to create this training, is because I wanted also a safe space for people that work in the adult industry to be able to come and learn and know that they can even talk and share about how they could bring this through into their work. So if that is something that does call you, I highly recommend to have a look at the show notes and you can find some more information and decide if you'd like to apply. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if there's anything you would love me to speak about, please send me a message. Send me an email or, you know, Instagram me, Facebook me. And I'd love to know what you thought of this episode or if you have any more questions or want me to speak about something else. And I would love, love, love a review. You can do that on Apple Podcast or you can click the little star on the Spotify. But I would definitely love, if you are listening on Apple, written review would absolutely make my day if you have really got something out of this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in.